The Pat Miller Program, from the Windows, Doors, and More studio, with designers on staff to help you figure out how to remodel your kitchen and bath on WoWo, 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Depend on it.
And welcome back. Hi, everybody. On this Monday here, it's kind of a gray, yucky Monday and rainy. It needs to stop before game time tomorrow night. That's all I'm saying, okay? So rain, you've got until 7 p.m. tomorrow. Welcome back to the Pat Miller Program as we roll into hour number two on this Monday. An organization we've had on before, we've talked to Sergeant Scott McGreevy before. We had Sergeant Jeff on before, and Jeff is going to be with us right now, and I want to talk to him because of Mike McGrew was the one I had on before, sorry, and then Jeff McGreevy. I want to have him on now because the organization is 9/11 At Ease International. If you want to find them, find out a lot of what they do. If at the end of this you may even want to help support their organization, which does a lot of great work, it's 911AEI.org. That's 911AEI.org. So let me do this. Let me go now and bring him up if I can get everything straight here. Here we go, Jeff McGreevy. Sergeant, good afternoon to you, sir. Welcome to the Pat Miller Program. Welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon. I appreciate you having me on again.
You bet. Absolutely. Well, you guys just do incredible work. One of the main reasons, and I know you're in program development there, but what 9/11 AEI does, it provides counseling, confidential counseling, which is kind of important, to, you think of anybody in first response, police, firefighters, dispatchers, EMS, and their families, and you guys contract with competent, trauma-trained clinicians everywhere to help these people. I'm guessing, as we're trying to pull out of the pandemic, Jeff, as we're trying to get to a point where we're beyond all this darkness we've had in the country, some of these first responders and their families, the recovery to them to the new normal is probably going to be a little tougher than almost everybody else.
Yeah, well, there's been so much going on in the last 14, 15 months with COVID and the anti-police rhetoric that's been in the media, is that it's hard to imagine how stressful it is to be a police officer in this country today. And so many people are really seeking counseling because it's just building up. And the great thing about what we do is we not only take care of the first responder, but like you said, we take care of their families. So we're helping spouses, we're helping their children
right
through this stuff. And what we want to do is keep these men and women, we want them to be physically healthy, but we also want them to be mentally and emotionally healthy to get through their careers and serve you better.
You know, I am way on the outside looking in, but I'm just going to make this observation, Jeff. In the last couple of months, as I've watched news footage, whether it's footage that actually made it to on air or it's footage that I've seen off the air, it just seems to me the first responders don't look the same to me. They have a look in their eyes like they're almost spent, like they're just almost done. You know, and when you have a public that's so down on them, and just treating them so bad, and with some of the cases that we've had, maybe the cases where an officer shot somebody, maybe they were found properly, maybe improperly, but through all of that, police officers, I don't know why anybody would want to be a police officer today.
Well, they are tired. They've been, this is mentally and physically draining to what they've been having to deal with. There was different restrictions, and then being out in the community, and we were telling everybody to stay home, don't go outside. Well, who's out there in the community every day? It's your police officers and your firefighters and your paramedics that are still responding to the calls. They're still coming to all the emergencies. They're still there to help you. But there was fear of getting sick, and a lot of police officers did get sick, and unfortunately, a lot of them did contract COVID, and unfortunately, quite a few passed away this year.
Yep.
And so that brought a lot of stress, because then the fear is that, what if I get this thing and bring it home and then contaminate my family?
Right.
So it was a really scary time.
Yeah, very scary time. And you know about those times. I mean, you started with the Marine Corps when you were 17. That's when you joined them. You were at the police academy at 21. You've been a sergeant with an agency in Southern California, which can't be easy. You retired just last year after 29 years of service. So before we go on, Jeff, as I hope I did last time, let me thank you for your years of service, both to our country and to your community. I appreciate very much what you've done.
Well, thank you. That means the world to me. And I got to tell you, I had the best job in the world, and I wouldn't change anything. And, you know, it was a really tough job to do at times, but it was also a really rewarding job, and it just getting the opportunity to serve my country and serve my community was really all I ever wanted to do in my life.
You know, one of the thoughts that I had on a story we were covering last week, and I'm glad you're here, and I realized no answer is the right answer. I've never been a police officer. I have a handgun. My wife has a handgun, and we have shot them, but they've been shot, you know, at shooting facilities, so it's never been in confrontation with anybody. So I have great understanding about what it is that police officers go through. But when we see cases like, and I don't really want to debate the case, but the young lady, the African-American young lady who was getting ready to stab another African-American young lady, the officer gets on the scene. He has 9 seconds to decide he's going to shoot. I mean, from the time he arrived until he was done shooting was 11 seconds. Which is pretty quick. That's pretty stinking quick. Here's my fear. Help me with this, Jeff. This is my fear. Some officer is going to roll up on a scene someday, and he's going to see it is way out of control, and somebody needs to be stopped. It's going to take a handgun to stop him, and as he pulls his gun out of the holster and begins to point in the back of his head, he goes, dude, wait a minute. Do you want to be on TV for the next 6 months and have your family suffer? I mean, and then I'm afraid what's going to happen, Jeff, we're going to lose some officers.
Yeah, and what, and you just gave a great example of what a police officer has to deal with to make a split-second decision. One of the things that nobody talks about that incident, and I saw it when you watched the video, is I see the guy holding, our officer holding his hand up, meaning he's trying to calm the situation down.
Yeah.
He's got his hand out, and if you watch the beginning of the video, his hand is out, and it's that gesture of like, hey, let's calm down. But then there's a rapidly changing situation that's happened, a rapidly developing situation that's happening, where he said he's got to make a split-second decision. If I take action, reading the situation right, that's a very important thing. Am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? This person has a knife. They're actively trying to stab someone, and you've got to make that split decision. And then when we've got our police officers that are trained to respond to what they're seeing in an appropriate way, which is what he did. He saw that someone was trying to kill another human being,
right,
and he had a couple seconds to make a decision.
Right.
He tried to defuse the situation, but what if he would have done nothing? What if he would have just stood there and kept talking?
Oh, I know.
Someone got stabbed to death right in front of him.
Yeah, we would have had a different dead black girl as opposed to the one that died. I saw great things said about him from the family of the girl he saved, and that doesn't seem to get much airtime. And I just find it that it puts police officers, first responders, right in the middle of a vice. I mean, you're wrong if you do, and you're wrong if you don't. And there's times when officers need to be free of that. They need to go, and their training needs to kick in, and they just need to respond the way all of their protocols tell them to respond. And what I'm afraid of, Jeff, is we're getting into an era when they won't be able to do that.
Yeah, you'll get somebody that gets into a mentality of where they're like, they're going to be overly cautious or overly reluctant to take action because of concern about what it's going to look like to the media. You know, the incident that we just referenced to, that officer should be the Medal of Valor because he went into a situation and he made the correct decision and he saved people's lives. People shouldn't be out protesting in the street about what happened. People should actually be talking about that police officer and what a hero he was, and thank God that it was him that was there.
Yeah.
And he stopped that person from murdering someone. That was a heroic thing that he did, and it was the most awful thing that a police officer has to do. My hero and mentor, Dr. Larry Blum, he's a police psychologist in California that I worked with for a long, long time. Larry's been talking about this for 15 years, about police officers being trained so that they're not worried about the scrutiny from the public, that they just do their job. Because what he's afraid is that officers are going to wait longer to take action because they're afraid of scrutiny. And what happens is that, unfortunately, there's some people that get hurt. Because if they would have just dealt with the situation a little bit more swiftly, then maybe nobody would have gotten hurt. And, you know, the public or the police officer in these cases.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And Jeff, when that scrutiny comes, when that scrutiny comes, a lot of times that scrutiny is coming by people that aren't affiliated with law enforcement. They have no real idea. The only time they've ever been in a situation like that is if they watched it in a movie, and yet they're the ones that are passing judgment on these officers. To where we now had a teacher in California who is flunking a straight A student out of her class because he had the nerve to refer to police officers as heroes. Well, you know, back when I was in school, back when you were in school, it was longer ago for me. We rode dinosaurs to school, but back then, knowing police officers as heroes was not that bizarre. It was the norm.
No, it was the norm, and there's a lot of great teachers out there that are doing that and do respect law enforcement and firefighters and want them to be held in high regard. And the majority of our communities, they do hold their first responders in high regard. They care. They want their officers to be there. They don't want less police. They want more police because they know that they're helping to keep their neighborhood and their communities safe.
Yeah, last question. We're talking to Sergeant Jeff McGreevy. Jeff, in that, okay, you're no longer out on patrol yourself. You retired last year. But in that now you all, through 9/11 AEI, now that you all continue training and trying to do counseling with people and first responders and firefighters and police, do you see a real degradation in some of their mental capacities now compared to people you probably talked to 5 years ago? I mean, can you see physical, real mental stress? Can you see it in these people maybe like you've never seen it before?
I think that especially our dispatchers. Now, our police officers are definitely under a lot more stress and a lot more scrutiny, but our dispatchers are also under a lot of stress and scrutiny just because of the work there. Most of them are understaffed, and they don't have enough people to cover these centers. And when you have departments that have mandatory overtime and they're making people work longer shifts than they should be, and it starts to become very stressful. But the profession itself has always been very stressful, but what we're seeing is that more and more officers and firefighters are accepting help and getting some mental health counseling so that they can process some of the stuff that they've been exposed to over the years. Because it's not just this year.
Right.
It's stuff that you see over the course of your career.
Right.
And all those things, it's called cumulative trauma. And all those little traumas, you know, a normal, you know, citizen and out in the world, they might get traumatized 3 or 4 times in their lifetime. A police officer that's working patrol is traumatized 3 or 4 times a week, and magnify that times, you know, a 25-year career.
Yeah.
And so we're just very blessed that we have a program where we offer free counseling services to our police officers, firefighters, their wives or husbands, their children, and the retired firefighters and police officers from their agencies, because the retirees are kind of an underserved population that we like to help take care
of.
So they know that they're not forgotten.
This is great work that they do at 9/11 AEI for those in the field and those who had been in the field. It's real. Some of the trauma, some of the stress, some of the mental anguish is real, not just with the officers and the nurses and the drivers, but their families at home, because they are the ones that it's brought home to them every night, night after night after night. 9/11 AER is an organization that's really, really helping them. Here's what you can do. Go to 9/11 AEI, and that stands for At Ease International, 911AEI.org, and right on the main page, you can watch a video, you can get started in understanding what they do, and you can also click now. I'm not telling you to give. I'm asking you to give. Go in there and give what you can. These are the people that are helping to support our first responders. Yep, even here in Indiana. And so I'm asking you to step up and to help them. Jeff, as always, my good friend, you and I got to meet someday. You have just been a great friend to the program.
Brother.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you have done in your career. I appreciate what you're doing. I think somewhere along the way, I owe you a cup of coffee. But Jeff, for your time today, listen, thank you so very much.
I appreciate that. I'm going to hold you to that cup of coffee.
Hey, not a problem. I dare you to try to outdrink me, okay? Jeff, have a good day, sir.
Bye, brother. Thank you.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.